Jesus Christ, keep us safe as we do in your arms always. Hearts and flowers, amen.
L'chaim.
Thank you, Jeff Schneider.
There goes my street cred.
Also in the room is Keith McNally. Welcome to Keith and the Girl and our 3-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Yay.
That's right.
That's a lot of years.
That is correct.
Now, which one of you two remembered first that it was your...
The forums is one of us that remembered first. I knew it was coming, but I had to check the forums.
Jeff Schneider from the Funny Bone in Pittsburgh, funnybonepgh.com. Jesse Joyce, that's his favorite club, he was telling us.
Yes, Jesse is one of my young charges who started out with me back, I'm going to say early 90s. He was a janitor and a barback.
Which one was he better at?
He was a master at plunging toilets.
That's where he got his timing.
His comic timing, yes.
Which comic was the master in getting it all clogged up?
Oh, boy. Back in the old days, we had regular household toilets in the club, so it happened quite a bit. It was kind of nasty.
Rodney Dangerfield looks like a dumper. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, he was a funny guy. Did you ever see him live?
No.
Never saw Rodney.
No, but I heard the old days of Rodney, the days where his wife is behind the curtain, behind him, saying his jokes, and the times when he was talking into, the wife was talking to a microphone, you know, he had a little thing in his ear, and he's
Is
hearing the jokes. Yeah.
I never heard that.
He died like, sad. I mean, he'll say
sad.
It. He'll
yeah,
say
I
it.
I met him a couple of times. I was fortunate. Yeah. But the story goes that in his contract, in his... personal appearance contract in the rider would say he must be provided with nurses and medicine. And I guess that was hose and cocaine.
Oh, nice. Did you provide him with any of that?
No, I never did. But oddly, I had written a comedy script with another guy, another comic many moons ago, and I knew somebody who knew Rodney, and he was living at Beverly Hilton. It was Merv Griffin's hotel. Not that means anything to you youngsters, but he says, well, I can get you the script to Rodney. So I went up to his suite, and he was in a robe. That was the weirdest thing. He was in a robe breaking like peas in a colander, and I dropped off the script there. He was very cordial and nice, but it was just very weird.
He's very he was in physical pain a lot of times, too, in his later years. He was just he was bitter. He kind of hated doing stand-up.
You must have seen a lot of
I did.
Comics.
I saw a lot of people. I saw Rodney, Joan Rivers way back
did
when.
Did you see like all the drugs that were happening?
Is there a lot less debauchery behind the scenes now?
Yes.
Okay.
But you did
But
see
in the early days of the comedy club years, in the early 80s, it was like Deadwood in ways. It was a frontier. It was weird. It was a lot of coke and a lot of waitresses sleeping with comics. And comics sleeping with customers and managers sleeping with customers and, you know, and then until people figured out there could be a business to make a living from this, it was kind of freewheeling. But as you got older, you know.
Did you ever book someone just to kind of get in good with them as a female?
No.
No?
No. No. You mean to have coitus with a female comedian? There's no such thing.
That answer is...
There's no such
false.
Thing. There's no hot female comics
There's
out there.
There's no hot
comics. No, not at all.
That reminds me, the night we saw Michael Matera, there was some chick, and I remember you asked afterwards, like, did you find that chick got hotter as it became clear that she was funny? And it's just like, no.
No. All right.
No, less funny means hotter. That's what it is.
Because then she has that going for her. By the way, just to cover this real quick, the things that happened in the past year, since we're on year number 3, 2 Keith and the Girl DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
A relationship book that we haven't gotten to yet. My autobiography that I haven't gotten to yet.
These are promises slash... Right.
But 17 Keith and the Girl related tattoos. That we've got to.
Yeah.
That's
at least
amazing
17.
To me.
And I have sang Talk Dirty to Me in front of tens of thousands of people. I just didn't know it because I didn't lift my head up in Vegas. But very exciting if I knew that it was happening.
We
Not
also
a bad year.
On the cheese ball side, we met a lot of people.
Yeah.
How long have you been together?
He and I?
Yeah.
Almost 6 years.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
No, we got this
But you're not hitched.
Going.
Are you? You're not married.
Nah. For what?
I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't.
Have you been married?
Yeah, I've been married 24 years. 23 and a half.
You still into it?
You know, it's like anything. It's fantastic and it's horrible at the same time.
If you could have
like anything in life.
If you could have signed up for only 10 or 20 years, would you have done it that way?
No, but here's what I think.
With an option to rebuy.
Here's what I think. If you make it 50, then you should be allowed to have 10 more years of good health as the bonus for putting up for 50 years.
But then you're stuck with them for 10 extra years even after death. I don't know. I don't know where the plus is. Whose side are you on?
Let's just say it's not about quantity.
Okay. Okay.
It's kind of it's quality.
It kind of upsets me a little bit when the idea of Keith and Hemda getting married comes up because I don't want this show to get fucked up. I really like this show, and it's like,
but they are married.
You think we talk about? What do you think we talk about? Wedding plans, picnics. We talk.
I just don't
things
think
we don't even
no,
do now.
No, he thinks that that'll break us up, and then there's no show.
There's no such thing as a good marriage. It would just make the show worse, and then things would fall apart and be horrible. And I'm not going to lie to you. I like your show better than I like you guys. I don't want your show to get fucked up.
Well, thanks, buddy.
It was like Howard Stern, you know.
Jeez, we spent the whole day with this guy, and he comes up with this now.
I'm just saying, if I could pick one or the other, like I could only listen to the show or only know you guys, I'd probably go with the show.
You're the warmest.
I do like the show better than us too. I don't blame you.
I mean, how do you are you guys protected legally? You know, for the relationship and the business together, you guys got papers
for
on
the
each
business.
Other?
We got papers.
Oh, do you? Yes. Okay, all right.
But everything's half and half.
Mm-hmm. All right. Make sure you're covered.
I mean, what else is there to be covered? If our relationship was covered, that means we have a marriage.
Have you ever been sued? Arrest my case.
Yes, yes okay. We have.
Yeah.
Did you like that experience?
To talk about it when it was over.
Yeah. It's very bad experience.
Well, she did the paperwork for who gets what if we do break up.
It was available for you to be there, too. You just don't like these meetings.
I'm so tired.
Don't be a dope. That's a dopey man.
Let me tell you
thing
something. Let me tell you something. Who's the dope, my friend? Because I think I did okay. Where are those? See those sweatshirts behind there? If we break up, I get them.
You
all.
You get them all. Huh?
I get them all. So who's the dope now?
You know, sounds like she's pretty slick.
They're Keith and Hemda. I'm writing an article for my school newspaper about podcasting, says Joe. And we get these from time to time. This one's brand new. We'll just use this one as an example. I was wondering if you weren't too busy to answer a few questions that I could use as quotes. Thanks for the consideration, and I love this show. P.S. If one of you does answer the question, please say who's who so the quotes are attributed to the correct host. Thanks. P.P.S.
Jeez.
I'd also be happy to show you the article when finished to make sure you aren't taken out of context. It's going to be too late then, right?
I don't know. Oh, I thought he was going to include the questions. See, I don't like these homework
I have the
interviews.
Questions, and oh, okay. I do not like it. It's like homework.
I'll answer them.
We'll take phone calls and,
you know,
and
we
we'll
had,
answer.
We had a recent, somebody was doing something about podcasting. It wasn't for school. It was for their business, for like a website launching or something like that. And they were like, if you could just answer these questions. And it was questions that were so wide open to anything that I'd be writing paragraphs for this guy. It was like, how do you think you could move forward in podcasting? I mean, there's like a zillion different things that you can answer there. What specifically? It was like so not fair. I wrote back, look, you know, it's very difficult. I would be writing, you know, for a couple hours. Why don't we give you a call?
I Googled, it doesn't seem worth my time.
Well, we can do it over the phone. And he's like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm like, just let me know your schedule. Never heard from him again. You know why? Because if I talk to him, that means he has to do the work.
He wanted
and
you
write
to write
down
his term
all that
paper
stuff.
For him.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Yeah. That's not fair.
Here's the question.
We're on to these people.
Yeah, we're on to you. Number one, how did you decide to start your own internet radio show?
I think we answered that
one. I think we answered that one. People told me I should do it. I listened to radio shows online. I thought they were terrible. Then we decided to do it. Number two, how do you view your fans? I view them as people that listen to our show.
We view them because they order at keithandthegirl.com/support. They get onto cameras, and we view them nice and easy every time
they
live
show. Actually view them with fingers in their snatch box. Number three, I know this show is a main source of income for you, so what do you do during the day?
Christ.
Number four, are you satisfied with how far your show has come across? Yes. What are you most proud of? How far it's come across. And finally, five, is there anything else you'd like to say about the show? No. I'm good. How about you make your own questions?
I hate that question.
Man, if you didn't care.
You know, the YouTube page just got another long email about the autism clip, Jenny McCarthy's autism
book. Yeah?
Yeah.
Same. Oh, yeah. Keith McNally is the one who takes care of our YouTube page. He puts all those things together, and so you also read the mail for us. What's the problem?
And this one was basically the same, but I don't know. She was, like, trying to be more reasonable. She's like, I understand that you're making fun of Jenny McCarthy and not autism, but still... So she's like, so I'm not saying you should take it down, but maybe you should change the search terms so people don't come across it. Why the fuck is it on YouTube?
We want people to come across it. I knew she was autistic. I knew it.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. It's not a surprise. By the way, you know what I heard? The vast majority, almost 100% of kids that have autism, their parents, or the mom rather, drank and or smoked in utero.
Fact.
Also...
It's interesting, though, right? Ask that woman that.
They smoked and drank while the mothers were in utero?
Yeah, the grandmothers did it.
Wow.
Also, 50% of mothers to autistic children are porno-related girls.
Absolutely true.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Fact.
Fact.
Thank you.
Which fact is that? I'm
50% of the mothers who have kids who have autism were somehow related to the porno industry.
You're kidding.
It's on Wikipedia. Check in 5 minutes.
So quit sucking dick and put down the booze.
Check in 5 minutes. I like that.
Do you know this new thing with Jenny McCarthy? She's saying that she's going around telling people that it's diet and proper exercise that could stop your kid from being autistic, and doctors aren't listening to her. So she's trying to spread the word on talk shows.
No, she's very smart.
Yeah.
I mean, doctors who've been to, you know, doctor school.
But don't pick on her.
Fuck them.
Because she had a retarded kid. Don't pick on her. Like I'm picking on the kid. Quit drooling, you disgust me.
Does anybody remember that Candy's commercial she did? It was a premiere with her on the toilet wearing those hot shoes.
Yes.
I don't understand.
You saw the shoes?
Of course you saw the shoes.
I don't understand what
the...
If she never did anything else in her career, she would be in the Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned.
Why was...
If it ended then.
Why was that shocking? People were shocked by that. I don't remember why.
Dude, girls don't poop.
Right.
Oh, is that why? Because she was giving the secret away.
I just remember, I don't know if you know David LaChapelle, he's a big fashion guy, but he did this Gucci with these hot
Gucci. Don't go by my outfit, yeah.
These hot Gucci shoes of a woman giving birth, you know, he set this whole thing up in a maternity ward, you know, the baby, they're holding the baby out, she's wearing these big spiked, you know, fuck me pumps, you know, it was kind of so out of context to anything, you know, and that's what I think some of the...
Are you allowed to have porn in your house?
Yes.
You are? Do you have to keep it in a very private place? Are you guys open to these things? Do you talk about it? Do you watch it together?
I do nude photography besides,
you
too.
You do
really?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
A comedy club owner that does nude photography. Well, I smell creep.
I have a dark room. You know, I shoot large format under a dark cloth, old school.
Really?
I hand develop all my film and
yes.
I make beautiful, 16x20 prints and I hang them in the bar. I'm not kidding.
The models.
Who have you shot?
Pittsburgh women, you know, mothers and students and...
what's your
mothers
type?
And daughters?
No, I'm not into shooting, professionals or strippers or, women who make their living in the sex trade. They're the worst models. I like regular, normal people.
Why is that?
Like yourself. You'd be a great candidate.
I'm coming over.
Done.
No, you would.
You had me at, I don't like to work with pretty people.
And it's a great hobby, and my wife and everybody, you know, my kids, you know, it's always been up in the...
What kind of nudes, then? We're not talking open-legged, here's my snooch.
No, it depends. No, it's not pornographic, but I walk the edge. I get to the edge, but I don't cross it. I don't think...
I asking you to...
No, it's not that. It's not nothing provocative. It's more like a natural. It's more of a natural kind of thing.
Like, look at me. I'm just exuding it. I didn't do nothing.
I'm
like
saying 14th Street attitude. I need 42nd Street attitude.
No double penne with cream sauce, if that's what you're asking.
Do you find the American Apparel pictures classy or a little disturbing?
American.
Do you know American Apparel? This guy takes... is it only big in New York or is it big all over? Find a picture for him.
I'll find
him. But just these... These they're like they are they 16? Are they younger? And they wear leotards, and it just looks it's pornographic to me. It's very very pornographic to me. And I was just curious if you were familiar.
Here.
With
it. Look what comes up. I'm gonna post this picture. It's a girl, and I think she's selling underwear and a tank and possibly socks. She's got her leg way up in the air.
That's upsetting.
So that's not the kind.
No.
That
upsets me.
But I've worked with women as much as 65 years old too, and all kind of body types of stuff. You know, just regular people, and that gives me most artistic pleasure.
That kind of blows my theory. I figured what you do, since women tend to be vain, right? You just say you're not going to be pretty forever, so let's get some snapshots while you are. What do you say to a 65 year old?
I have a very soothing nude side manner.
I think that you should say what you told me because I feel so special right now.
You are special.
I know. It's true.
It is true.
What's that? What?
People like you. Anyway, I filmed a 65-year-old, your average girl. Funny girls aren't...
I'll do anything.
Key, funny girls aren't hot. Anyway, can I take your picture nude?
The key, it's easy to get people like Jenny McCarthy to take their clothes off and spread their legs. Any schmo can do it. Anybody with a digital camera, and you see it, billions and billions of pictures every day on every website. The key is... with the people you have relationships with and the women you're married to make them desirable to a regular viewer.
I agree. Sometimes looking at the cameras, it's not even about the tits. It's about the wind. I'm on your side, my friend.
It's about the wind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like that. Yeah, like it's easy to get hot people to get naked, but a 65-year-old, mwah.
Yeah, you didn't think you were going to do that. Now you got a picture. Does your wife have any rules that you're not allowed to jerk off to any of the people that you took pictures of?
No rules. No rules.
You guys seem awesome. I think I know why you guys lasted so long. Yeah.
I mean, really, here's the key. If your wife or whoever is going to give you the leeway, you have to respect it. That's the thing.
Can I get a little more personal? Like, what kind of other leeway do you guys have? It seems like you have special rules
that
are
swingers?
Not...
swingers?
Yeah. We're not swingers, no.
Are you close to swingers?
Not close to swinging.
Do I have to ask the exact question
I used to be able to swing,
here?
But not anymore.
Is there anything sexual about your relationship that people would consider alternative? Just the way you said swinging, we're questioning.
No, not
like,
really.
Are
no,
you allowed no. once a month to fuck somebody?
No, I can make love to somebody once a month.
Else?
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Of course not.
No.
Okay.
So I have the best of both worlds in a sense, and a woman who trusts me, and that's the greatest thing there is.
Aww. Do you own the Liberator? We do. It's awesome. You should.
The Liberator is a...
it's a piece of
it's
thing.
It's a government
that...
kind of thing?
Yes, the government installs it for you.
Is it an Israeli kind of thing?
No.
No, it's not Israeli?
No, it's a thing that holds you up, basically, so that your positions could be a little more easily accessible.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
More efficient.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I never heard of the Liberator.
Oh.
Wow.
Mm.
You guys don't sell a Keith and a Girl Liberator?
Oh, it's coming, man.
No, I'm still
it's
interested.
Coming like a freight train.
Get it?
I'm but still you do... interested in the 65-year-old. Now, did she approach you, or did you see her, and you're like, I have to
I'm
going to
tell you, young whippersnapper. It's not my normal predilection, but if you have an artistic sensitivity, the key is not turning your head because somebody's 65 or somebody's not the right body type. That's the problem. There's too much infantilism relating to women's sexuality.
Sometimes ugly's beautiful.
Right. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of great faces and great body types, and it's what the photographer brings to his artistic vision.
Do you airbrush any of your work?
No, I don't. I shoot cesarean scars. I don't care what it is. It's real to me, and I find that the most attractive thing. And
I don't appreciate him looking at me when he says things
right?
like that.
I think I could be in those pictures too now.
And when I was a kid, when I used to have a prescription to Hustler.
Right.
Subscription.
Thank you. I used to have a prescription. The back of the magazine, I liked the regular fold, the regular pictorials, but it was all porn chicks. But what I really liked was the women in the back, the regular next door neighbor women who would send in Polaroids. This is before your time, but that was called the Beaver Hunt. It was just regular women.
I remember Beaver Hunt.
Yeah, you remember the Beaver Hunt. I thought they were much hotter because these are people I met and you kind of knew. But not those other girls, they inflate and they stick them in a warehouse. You never see them in real life.
You know what? Not to shit on your work. Personally, I don't need to see the regular girl because I walk around town. I see them all the time. I need to see the ones that I don't see.
Okay, all right. That's a fair assessment.
That's all. I like the fake ones. I don't care that they're having real sex or not. I know I jumped to something a little more disgusting.
I did notice I used to work at a porn store, and sometimes those amateur tapes of people just sending in stuff
are so much better. They're the hottest ones. They are.
But maybe it's because I was surrounded by porn, much like in your sideline. You're also surrounded by titties, I assume. So maybe that's it. Maybe we have more titties in our life.
Maybe that's it.
I mean, it's really the third dimension. that we kind of like airbrush out of it. There's no imperfections, no body maculations. It's all got to be airbrushed so we can forget that we're really kind of, mortal people.
Do you sell pictures? Where can people see your work?
Well, actually,
here we go.
I'll tell you.
Your private stash.
I'll tell you, Jasper. Hold on. There's a website that my buddy in California, it's called modelmayhem.com. If you write my under photographer, look for Jeff Schneider, you can go there and see. I got 20 prints scanned in. You can get an idea of what I kind of do.
Okay.
Modelmayhem.com. So if you look, .com.
And then you look under Jeff Schneider?
Yes. Say photography, just type in Jeff Schneider and I should pop up.
Mm-hmm. Now, how old would a woman have to be for you to decide that it's just not going to work out? Like, would you turn someone away?
120.
Have you ever turned somebody away?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
For being too good looking?
No. No. Attitude.
Little prima donna attitude. You don't have time for that.
I mean, I don't want to do a lot of work in regards to somebody's personality. In other words, if you jibe with somebody, it's like working with a chemda, which I never thought I could have enough phlegm to do the show, actually.
I got it on year three. Very good.
But,
I don't even try.
She won't tell me her last name, though. I might have to do a little Krav Maga on her to get her to tell me her last name.
Madonna.
You know what Krav Maga is?
Brandy.
No.
You don't know what Krav Maga is, and you're from Israel.
Krav
Maga. That's the ultimate Israel street fighting techniques. It was on Fight Quest.
Is that
these two guys got their asses kicked by a woman younger than you who trains these guys. They were crawling out of the ring. Called Krav Maga. Krav, K-R-A-V-M-A-G-A.
Is that in Hebrew?
I think Maga's the guy who came up with it, but it's pretty intense. It's very intense.
I'll look it up. I should get into it.
Is it purely coincidental that it arrived in Israel? That's where they developed it?
No.
I didn't think so.
I don't think so.
Newsy's saying, fuck Model Mayhem. I tried to make an account there, and they denied me for some reason. Do they not accept gays?
Yeah.
Anything like that?
I don't know that to be true, but a lot of it is very – I mean, the models are very young, and it's a lot of posting and a lot of chit-chatting, and I'm not so much into that. I'm more into the
Right.
A lot of bondage, and I'm really not into that.
How do you ask someone to pose nude for you?
You just kind of ask.
If I pose nude for you, will you pose nude for me?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Ow.
All right. Keep the cameras on after the show. Jim from Oklahoma saying, did the 65-year-old ask you to powder her breasts for the photo shoot? They do stick sometimes.
No, but I got a great photo of her, a very good photograph. She was a little squirrely, as I recall. Her name was, I'm not going to say it, but...
Jill. All Jenny.
Totally nude.
Sue.
Completely nude, except she was wearing matching silver necklace and blue turquoise and matching silver. And all she was wearing was a bracelet matching with turquoise. It's really quite nice.
All right. I look forward to that.
It's not an erotic thing or it's not something.
It's got to be erotic on some level. Let's be real.
No, on some level it is, but it's only erotic when I'm in the dark room making the prints. When I'm working, it's not erotic because I'm a professional person. I'm not, there for any kind of hanky-panky. Hopefully if I accomplish what I was after, I will have that experience in the darkroom.
Before you got married, were you also a photographer?
I did a little bit, but my wife actually got me my first 35mm.
Aww.
And then I was living in California for about 7 years until 1995. And a good buddy of mine who I met there, I said, I'm moving back to Pittsburgh. He says, well, what do you think about trying some nudes? So I asked my wife, and she said, well, give it a shot. And
how come people go to me, what do you think about trying clowning? And to this guy, what do you think of photo?
Have you ever slept with one of your
models?
So Keith
never said, why don't you try to be a clown?
Oh, I said that to him.
It's vice versa. Oh, have you slept with one of your models?
No.
All right.
No.
No.
I can't cross that line.
Very professional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to model for you then, sorry.
All right.
I think a lot about not being like Jeff, but I just think a lot
more about... Or alternative. That's what I was getting at.
I just think a lot about being a flat-out pornographer, Not like Jeff, but like hardcore porn.
You mean like Stone Cold?
I totally think like if my life had gone in a, slightly more downtrodden path, like video stuff, there's still a lot I have to learn. But then I go on to bangbros.com and I can do everything they can do. I could fit right in there. No problem.
You can do everything except banging.
Right.
But you just want to videotape it.
Yeah.
Well, and anytime I see somebody walking around who just is like you see those extra tiny Asians and stuff. It's just like, I just want to give them business cards and just eventually someone's going
to
bite.
What about Bukkake? You ever think about getting to Bukkake?
At the porn store I used to work at, we had this one tape.
Bukkake Thursday.
It was this
I'm sorry,
chick,
what's Bukkake?
It's like massive amounts of facial cum shots. Just like 50 guys. Like,
is that true?
Out of control.
That's what the Japanese people do. They never invent anything, but they innovate everything. The car business, the electronics business.
Wait. Is it like one video where there happens to be 50 cum shots? Or is it a general, she got Bukkake'd?
No, 50 guys. 50,
boom!
It's 50 guys in the scene, all pleasuring themselves with one girl who's getting the she looks like a glazed donut after it's over.
Oh, okay. That's the gayest thing I ever heard. Okay.
We had this one tape that was, it was a white chick who was at the beach buried up to her neck in the sand with goggles on, and then dudes Bukkake'd her. And I'd come in the morning and just like have my coffee and just, it was like zen, like just stare at it and be like, what the fuck happened to my life?
You can't make a Bukkake film because they got, the Japs got it all sewn up.
Yeah.
They are the kings of it.
They are.
With the like bubbles coming out of the mouth and eyes.
Is it wrong that what I picture is beforehand, they go, okay, Tim, you shoot for this corner, and so that everyone's lined up just so that they can cover her up and not everybody. Because if everybody shoots for the belly or the boobs, then you fucked up the whole thing.
Oh, it's all on the face. That's the whole point.
Oh, get out.
It's totally.
What does Bukkake mean?
The head in general.
What does Bukkake mean?
I don't know.
Translate it out.
I don't know. What does it? Lay it on.
I think it means like spray or squirt in Japanese.
I was thinking too, like you can't just find 50 dudes. You need to have a dedicated team to pull that off. Like that's.
Oh, and they all come at the same time for real, for real?
They just like line up.
It's not like the Bellagio. But they do whenever they can finish. You know, I worked at a an editing studio, and we had a lady come in, and I can't think of her name right now, but she does supposedly porn for women, because all porn's geared to guys. And I saw it, and by the way, I don't see any kind of difference at all. But anyway...
Wait, you're saying porn for girls and porn for guys?
Yeah, it's porn for women, because everything's tailored to men, but there's no difference. Okay. You're still a whore slut. So she came in, and she's direct. She used to be a porn star, and now... I don't know, K or C. Anyway, she comes into the place, the editing place, and we're seeing her videos, and she's trying to make some drama out of this mess of people fucking each other. And I told her that I was into doing this. This is when I was living in New York, and if she would have called me back, I would have auditioned or whatever.
Shut
and
your face.
Got into porn, I believe.
That would have been the greatest.
Within the last 10 years, I would have done that.
I'm working on this documentary right now, right, about Keith and the girl. I would track that fucker down, for sure. Me and Jeremy,
no, he's
we'd
saying
find
this
it.
Wouldn't happen, because he would be such the porn star. Okay?
I guess, yeah.
Let's think about it for a second. If he's making money by fucking all these chicks, he's not going to end up meeting me and making funny ha-has with me.
It's Candida Royale. That's what it was.
Was it Jeremy remember. That remembered?
No, I remember.
Yeah, that was she a porn actress?
Yeah, she was a porn actress back in the day.
Yes, with Seika and Vanessa Del Rio and all the greats.
What the fuck is going on over here? I have no idea what you guys are talking about. All I know is Savannah. One time I watched this film with Savannah. I think she died since. She shot herself. I like all the greats. I was happy about her, and I was thrilled to death to know a porn name.
Yeah, here's her site, Candida Royale, royalle.com, and... She looks worse than that. She did not age
very
well.
So, Femda, you're not a big consumer of porn, I take it?
No.
But she's a pervert. She's not a prude in any way. I mean, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you.
No, I'm not sticking up for her.
She's tolerant. She's tolerant of your peccadillos.
She's sicker. She's
sicker.
I don't know why she's shrugging. She's a U-porn champ. She knows what folder to go into. Of course
what?
She is. She's the disgusting one.
I don't need porn.
You don't need it, but...
I don't need it.
But if Keith's asleep and she couldn't get fucked five times that day...
Wow. You know,
yeah, she might have to go
five
to
five times
the,
a day, man. That's a lot
I'm not a prude. Me. No, you're not, sweetheart. No, you're not.
I know a comic who was in a porn movie.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, not a famous guy. A guy who worked for me. He was an MC, and then he went to L.A.
Jesse
and got
Joyce?
Into,
Jesse
got into
Joyce.
The business. Not Jesse. Another guy who was in a movie called Shut Up and Blow Me.
And Keith was going to be in that film.
Now, by the way, out for that.
You know, Godfather 2 is considered better than the original.
Right.
And Shut Up and Blow Me Too is considered better than the original. It's the only two films that I could say the sequels were better than the original.
Do they go into the past and you learn why you need to shut up and blow me?
Well, what they do is they're probably on volume 150 now, and they just get a room like this and hire some girl, and they paid the guy $50. I said, I hope you're not planning on running for president anytime soon.
It is funny when you see like Butt Bangers 14, and like, why didn't you just retitle it? Are people really loving the Butt Bangers
series? Yeah, they love it.
Right. Whatever's under Butt Bangers, I'm win. But just keep my credit card.
That's what the Japanese did. They took the 10-man American gangbang, the classic American gangbang, and they innovated and they streamlined it and got 50 guys.
You know, I tried watching the gangbang thing. I was kind of excited by it. I rented this video, and I'm thinking, oh my God, these 10 guys are going to totally pleasure this girl. It was so fucked. It was like she tried.
I'm sorry. You're seeing a video with one girl and 10 guys.
10 guys. And I thought it was going
to be. And you think it's going to end up nice.
No, but nice in a creepy way. But you know what I mean? Like nice where she's going to get like 10 guys just wanting to please. It was not 10 guys
wanting to please her.
To make love to her? No, not make love.
One to buy the flowers. One to pick out the shoes.
Okay.
That's why I don't like porn. There's no lovemaking going on.
Oh, shut your face.
There's stabbing. There's impaling.
I'm fine with stabbing and impaling.
You are, huh?
But, yes. But there was no, there was like, she went to kiss some guy after he came, and he was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, clearly, get the fuck out of here.
Wow. He doesn't even know that's his own jizz. That
no,
could be anybody.
I know. And I know, but the thing is I'm watching you act. So, like, I don't want, like, act like you like it or something. Like, do something.
What was her motivation in the scene?
Not to die.
Trying not to get AIDS. I don't know.
That's why I could never make it.
The guy that was saying, get the fuck away from me, he was holding a script when he said that.
I could never make it in porn, though, because, you know, you really got to grind those out to make money at it. But every time I see a chick who reminds me of someone, like if I see a chick that looks like Christina Applegate, I would set up a whole fucking Married with Children set just to do, and I'd lose money every time. But I just every time I see someone who reminds me of someone else, it's such a waste.
I bet that's how it started. I bet they started with like elaborate sets. They're like, people don't care. Now it's just like, you know what? I try to get the real experience, a bed in a normal person's house. Nobody wants. I would like a movie set.
And that's the Japanese. That's what they do. They stripped it bare.
Documentary on Ron Jeremy. And when he first started, they were still in movie theaters and had a budget. And like I saw this thing where he's like in a World War One like biplane flying
that's
around.
So sexy, World War One.
Yeah, but like,
when
it's
I
a real
think
movie.
World War One.
And
the
then
banging
once,
that must have happened.
But then once, you know, VHS came out.
That's right. Boogie Nights.
That's right.
Exactly right. No, that's what they talk about in Boogie Nights, when video came to home.
Right.
Home.
By the way, I'm sorry. Uncast from San Diego. Bukkake means to splash forcefully.
There you go.
That's a nice way of saying
That's
it.
Nice, yeah.
To splash forcefully. By the way, big ups. Let me say this to you gang at Tulsa. Somebody show your tits to everybody else in the room right now. Very good. Very good.
They're having a Tulsa meetup right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I am definitely. I knew that I was going to last time we talked to you guys, but I am still going to be in that glamour photo shoot. I'm going to do a photo shoot on my own. And I'm going to be hooked up to a lie detector test, and they're going to do an article, and I think it'd be something funny to talk about. Listen to this. Hi, Keith. I'm coordinating the photo. I moved on to the next level. I don't talk to Tiffany anymore. I'm coordinating
You moved on from porn to, like, real shoots.
Oh, yeah. I'm legit now. I'm coordinating the photo shoot next week for the story you are participating in for Glamour. The shoot will be at the studio in Manhattan. You're doing it Thursday. Do you have a preferred time? I also need to get your sizes so that our stylist can pull clothing for you. What's your pant size, shirt size, and shoe size? I'm doing a thing about the dudes lie, and you're dressing me up in clothing I've never worn.
Right.
I'm lying in your pictures. It seems a little weird to me.
I say you dress like you want to take a picture anyway, just in case none of that works.
In case they're setting me up.
Did you forward that to me so I can answer those questions?
Yeah, I don't know what size
Make sure they give you a good cod piece, though.
Oh, good call. Thank you.
Yes, very important.
I saw some of your pictures. Even the women, they all have cod pieces. I like your angle. I like your angle, sir.
I'm a visionary.
By the way, I am a member now of the No Cussing Club. No thanks to me. Somebody signed me up. Remember, we were talking about the town in Pasadena? The little kid started an ordinance, and he thinks people really aren't going to swear. And supposedly, the first week of March every single year, it's going to be a no-cussing rule. Meanwhile, investigators, the FBI, went around and asked, do you know about this? And nobody knew about it.
Except in New York.
Right, but it's nocussing.com, and I'm a member, and you guys could be too. The username is member. The password is welcome. Tell them to fuck off. Keith, congratulations. You are now an official member of the No Cussing Club. Log into the members area today at nocussing.com. Using the username and password above, you can print out your No Cussing Club membership certificate. If you want free shirts, go to start a No Cussing Club chapter and have your parents help you. If you don't, why can't I be an adult and not want to cuss? If you don't want to start your own chapter, but you want to be a member and have a shirt, you can order one online. Please email me a photo at brhatch, H-A-T-C-H, at earthlink.net so I can post your picture on the website. Welcome to the club. McKay Hatch, No Cussing Club founder, and no pussy getting boy. Bonus, if you open the first No Cussing Club chapter in your state, you will also not get laid. You'll receive free 5 hug cards.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That is like molestation town. We don't swear here now. Get on your knees. You get a hug card. Free 5 hug cards and a copy of the book titled Raising a G-Rated Family in an X-Rated World from the No Cussing Club sponsors. Good luck. I wonder if we can sponsor somehow. I'm not joking. Like, what, we can give out keychains or something. Like, for your sodas. You know, we have keychain bottle openers, and, like, that'll be a fun thing at school. Well, you can figure out something. I'm not joking. P.S. Club members, you have to start your own No Cussing Club to get one, because they're nice.
We have a No Cussing Club.
We have one?
It's called Keith and the Girl.
Yeah, but, I mean, for people to join. Club members are joining from all over the world, and I would love to receive your letters. Please send me your comments via email, brhatch@earthlink.net, South Pasadena, California. To unsubscribe, go to here. Why would I want to? That's fantastic.
Isn't this kind of like, you know, you just start the No Girls Allowed Club or whatever? It would have just been in your neighborhood, but now this shit can be everywhere because of the internet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 10,000 members they have. Members in all 50 states.
Who don't cuss.
Who do not cuss.
Wow. Can sound like a bunch of motherfuckers. They do. That's the worst thing, not to cuss. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
They're cussing. Bullshit. They're cussing. You know what?
They're cussing.
I bet I'm going to go there, and I bet I can find different emails of people, and I'm going to send them an email and go, I heard you cussing this week. You're out.
Or if they had meetings, you could go.
Did
but
somebody take umbrage to one of your shows, and that's why you're connected to these people?
I don't know.
Yeah. No, it was in the news.
Oh, I gotcha.
But if they had meetings, you could just swear under your breath. Fucking motherfuckers. They'd be like, what? Nothing. What?
You can't swear on a Bible or anything?
I would hope not. That's another club.
I don't know. Court.
Today, we went to the Meadowlands Expo, Electronic Expo, with computers for $10 and MP3 players for free. And they blow you so that you take their cameras. They kind of got us a little bit. They kind of got us, New Jersey.
Well, we had to know that it might be a little bit of a situation, but we did not know that at the Electronics Expo they'd be selling sneakers.
Sneakers, purses. There happened to be some electronics. There's another commercial that we didn't see. The Purse Expo. The Shoe Expo. And we saw what we wanted to see.
How was the head?
The head?
You said you got blown
there.
The same
as all flea market heads.
Oh, no. That's in the commercial. It's bait and switch.
Really?
Yeah, I got rammed in the ass.
So there's no blowjob.
Not in the least. Oh,
man. There's a lawsuit.
But I'll tell you what I got. I didn't do too bad. I think Hendel left there thinking we didn't do so good.
You know why? Because what happens is we walk into these places and I'm like, there is going to be a couple of items where Keith will make a puppy dog face and I will have to be like, fucking shrug, okay. And here are the following items.
Right, here's what I got at the brand new Electronics Expo, which, by the way, we'll show you some pictures. Come to took it with her phone. No brand names.
Oh, yeah.
No brand names.
We knew that. Well,
I don't know. I haven't been to one of these.
There was Dell. Dell computers were there.
Bell. I looked closely. It's Bell. And you have what looks like Apple iPod, but, you know, when they say similar to the iPod, but it looks just like it. It looks just like, you just know, I'm not going to be able to return this to anybody.
Was it crowded there?
We deliberately went during the day when we figured people would work.
Right.
It wasn't that crowded. There were people,
but
for
today
sure.
Today is Friday, and we went during business hours where people normally would have a job on purpose.
And where was this?
In Jersey.
Anywhere in particular?
Meadowlands. Secaucus.
I see. Okay.
I like, though, with those fake iPods, the guy who was trying to sell them, he's like, it's just like an iPod. Doesn't have a scroll wheel. Well, the scroll wheel's on there. Just doesn't do anything. But we put it on there.
Your friends won't know. Yeah. Just don't flip it over. There's no Apple symbol. Draw an Apple symbol on there.
But if I didn't have an MP3 player, I would completely buy it. What's
That's
wrong with
what
it?
What I always do. I always get like $50 Walmart ones. And
it was,
when they break,
it was,
I get new ones.
It was playing videos on a small thing. They were showing. I mean, I get it that I'd prefer to buy something like that in a store, even if it has no name. It's just that here, if something goes wrong, who are you returning it
who
to?
Who you return to, even if you went back there and met him. Yeah, I got this here and it broke the very next day.
Petri?
Yeah, it broke the next day.
Like iPod, right?
All right, fuck me then. Yeah, nobody speaks in this. Okay, here's what I got. Keith got a gun. I got a gun. Happy anniversary to me.
Oh, yeah, it was an anniversary.
And because it's new electronics,
God,
I got a crossbow.
These were the items excited. That I was cringing at.
Oh, you bought
obviously.
That at the show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're talking.
Oh, people are getting hurt in the eye.
How much would fine items like that run you?
Well, you would think that the crossbow would run you $20.
I don't like how you're pointing that at me, by the way. Is that loaded?
I'm just showing you. I'm
you,
just
showing you need you. To put an apple on your head, man.
Okay. Yeah. So I got these things. yeah, you would think $20. You would think I wouldn't get a deal. And I didn't. Do I get this? I have $15.
Right. Sounds good. $20.
Do you understand what I'm saying? $20. $20.
You know what? That was the only thing that he bargained for himself because... he knew that I wouldn't want to be, and I wouldn't want to do anything with the guns.
Right.
But Keith has this, he's got several looks, but I think I know them all now. The one look is, so I want this. And I'm like, so you want this? Oh, yeah, how'd you know? Okay. The other look is, you're going to get them to dicker it down.
You're doing the talking today?
Yeah, like yeah. That. Yeah. He just kind of hands it to me like, so I go there and
well,
I'm,
you know what it is? It honestly is that because Henda has such a Jewish or Middle Eastern face that I think that they'll see her and go, you know what? I am not going to get out of not dickering with this Jew. I take it like it sets it up. Like, you know, it's like your mom going. Like she gives off an attitude right away like you're ripping me off with this price and we will be negotiating. Whereas if I go, it's like this guy's just trying. Well, this Jew's obviously expecting it.
And
it
know
worked.
What? It did work because I guess I must have the biggest fucking Jew face in the world because one guy, I said, shrug, and he goes $10 off.
She didn't even try. Is that 70, no exaggeration, 78,000 games in one of those arcade things?
So you spent the afternoon haggling over shit.
Come on, man.
Okay. Wow. I know you're 55 and you have your own gun.
I do,
this
man.
Is new to me. Crossbow's new to me. Let me tell you what else I got. Okay. Let me tell you what else I got.
$10.
Oh no.
American blocks.
Now that's a goodbye. That was a goodbye.
20 ounce.
You're a patriot.
20 ounce. So I guess I only have one pair of boxing gloves. I guess nobody can fight somebody, right?
Where are the electronics in that? Where are the electronics going?
Don't worry
gloves?
About it, by the way. I got Mexican boxing gloves too.
Oh. Wow.
I think we got a new Keith in the girls show.
I'd like to see you duke it out.
I already tried to at the expo.
One fall, no time limits, like, you know, UFC.
I see where you're going, though. Where
little
are
Krav
the...
Maga. Little Krav Maga. Little Israeli ultimate street fighting.
Jew.
Where are the... you're saying where are the electronics, because it's an electronics show. Maybe I didn't take full advantage of it.
Watch this, my friend.
Oh, no.
You stick this to the Eureka. Wall.
Oh, you got the idea thing.
Right? You stick it to your wall, and then you click it.
It's like a light bulb
thing. And then maybe
thing.
It'll go on.
How much?
It's a light bulb for your wall.
Only $5.
Only $5.
Yeah.
You ever been to Tijuana?
Today.
You could
today
buy
at the Meadowlands.
You could buy a $500 leather jacket there for $5. I'm not kidding you.
Listen,
if you
why
haggle
do you
want
to ruin
enough.
Everything? We said we drove all the way to Jersey.
Jersey.
Come on.
So you got to keep in mind it was $10 to get in, also. So you got to factor that in. If you don't buy enough stuff, it was a waste.
I got you something, McNally. I hope you like it, buddy.
All right, so
it's day-to-day, it's functional.
This can only be to piss in. It's like, what else could this possibly be for? It's like a jug, it's 1,000 milliliters.
That's how much
whatever.
You piss in
that's
a night.
That's absolutely what it is. Yeah, that's for your urination problem.
That's for the bukkake, man.
It's shaped perfectly, like, oh, you got to put a picture of this on the
Yeah, that's how you pee in a hospital.
And now that's how you pee in the car. And doesn't that stop two times between here and 5 minutes away, Williamsburg?
Did you really only get one? Scott Press Fox needs one of these.
That's for product.
That holds a lot of urine.
Yeah, you can piss in this for days before you dent you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Very thoughtful. How much was this one? I shouldn't even ask. It's a gift.
It's a gift. Don't worry about it, buddy.
It's just a liter.
$1.
Don't worry about it.
$1.
By the way, how come, with everything being bootleg in there, the cops just don't go in and arrest everybody? Who is it? Christina Aguilera. She did not endorse any of those iPods with her picture on it. I guarantee.
Any Louis Vuitton there?
We didn't check that.
Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton was there.
Lou.
I got Lou. Just go in there and arrest everybody.
Yeah.
And then we ate at the, if you guys know the area, we ate at Bazooka's right there. The waitresses are referee chicks. And quite frankly, that's my favorite kind of referee. The food was shit, but the chicks weren't bad. I give it 2 stars.
And it's called Bazooka's.
Bazooka. Oh, I just got it.
Clever.
Oh, you've been around the world, my friend. Clever. I just got it.
Clever. I don't get it. Are those boobs?
I guess like Bazoomas,
Bazoomas, seriously?
Bazookas.
It's a little bit of a stretch.
You got some nice bazookas there, lady.
Oh, when you say it like that.
Well, you can say anything like that.
Right.
Oh, and
I like your tavern on the greens.
That's how you get them to take their clothes off.
Oh, I was about to strip just then.
I know you were.
For the after dinner mint, they gave us Bazooka Joe gum. Funnier than ever.
You going to have Passover here next month? You plan the big Passover?
No.
Really?
No. I might go to my aunt's house.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You going to do the Seder there?
Yeah, they will. They'll.
You got a young boy do the four questions? You got a young boy there?
We don't have a lot of young boys. Probably a girl will do it.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't count. You got to have the young boy.
I got to have none of this, but I'm forced to do it about twice a year. So.
Are you? I was forced to read this prayer.
Exactly.
Right. Just want to make sure.
It's easier to go with the flow, she learned.
All right. I just want to see what side your ass was buttered on. That's all.
You were saying, McNally, you like the Bazooka Joe comics. He's still feisty, Bazooka Joe.
Yeah.
Still feisty.
They're updated now for modern times. They got cell phones, computers, chat rooms.
An example that you remember.
Oh, this I can't even make this up. It's so bad.
By the way, the gum, shittier than ever.
Yeah. This dude was on the chat room, and he's chatting away, and I don't know, Bazooka Joe, I guess, is like, hey, I guess you like those chat rooms. And how does it fucking go? And then it's like,
yeah, because
the whole joke
was,
punchline was, I can be someone else.
No, the dog said.
Yeah, the dog said to him.
A girl or something.
You can be someone else. I made up like a girl and jerk off old guys.
I wish I had kept them, man.
I figured you go to bazookajoe.com and you get the missing frame.
I like that.
Yeah.
So that's a writing credit for some guy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
you may have seen him on Bazooka Joe.
You may,
joke you just missed is you may have seen him on Bazooka Joe, told by John McClellan.
Yes. He's my security in case anybody steals my jokes.
You're hearing him from the couch. We told him that nobody would be able to hear him. He doesn't know how to follow directions. That's cool.
It's been 40 minutes. You can't help it. You're a comedian. You can't help it. I don't blame you. Nobody's upset.
Keith, you did stand-up, didn't you, a little bit?
I did it for a year regularly, and now I do a show once a year. And that seems to upset.
Once a year? How does that go?
It upsets. It goes great. It upsets comics that I do that a lot.
Oh.
He records them. He records once a year, April 15th, every year. So if you're around,
on tax day?
Yeah. Well, it's his birthday.
Oh, okay.
It's his birthday. Right. And,
but how do you keep your chops up, man?
And
how
he
you...
makes a DVD out of it, so we'll give you one on your way out.
Oh,
and
that's
let
great.
Us know if we need to make a trip to Pittsburgh. All right,
man. You're slick. I mean, you're slicker than cum dripping off a gold tooth.
I'm slicker than my buttered ass.
You are. I'm telling you, you're always selling. I get that feeling.
I'm a fucking Jew. I'm such a Jew. They haggle with me before I start. Look at this.
That's the Israelis, too.
All around
they're
today.
Not really Jewish.
What? Israelis?
They're not really Jewish in the Eastern European sense.
It depends.
They're more nationalistic, in a sense, not as religious.
I will give you that on a whole.
Okay.
Yes.
Before we call Dina, we're going to call our advice lady in a second. An Italian man says his wife is such a nag, he can no longer raise his flag. Get it?
Oh, he's the one.
So Sergio Vannucci is demanding nearly $300,000 in compensation for being left impotent. All she ever does is complain. It is extremely stressful and has left me unable to be a man. I want some compensation.
Lack of consortium, they call that.
Mm. Let me tell you something. An article in the neighborhood in the newspaper about how I can't get it up surely will make me feel like a man asking for $300,000.
I was sued once.
Yeah, for what?
Guy fell in the club.
Oh, that's the worst.
No, the wife fell in the club. She broke her ankle very badly, had to wear a cast all the way up to her hip. And,
couldn't look at that anymore. Couldn't get it up. Now
and couldn't have sex. It was loss of consortium. He couldn't consort with her. That's what
they
call
serious?
It. I swear to God. They always tack that onto a lawsuit.
He was suing you over not...
No, no. Besides falling, where it said, please watch your step, ma'am. Sign says, please watch your step. And I said, please watch your step. Mm-hmm. How much more, warning do you need?
So she in addition goes down, to that, in addition to, right, okay, I broke my legs, right, now my husband can't have sex with me.
Right, and he wants to be compensated for the lack of poontang.
Wow, who won? The poontang?
No, they lost.
Nice.
Yes.
You got a Jew lawyer?
No. No, he was a goy. He was a goyim.
No.
He's a big Gentile attorney.
Not
big
even, and
Gentile.
I still got it.
A motherfucker, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Did it go to court or what?
He was a gorilla. He was a shark.
Did it go to court?
Yeah, I went to court.
What a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
That cost you a lot anyway, right? But you set a precedent.
Well, the insurance company picks it up. The liable company. You know, the company has your, injured.
Picks up your lawyer fee?
Oh, of course. They're defending that this guy doesn't get any money.
Ah.
So you have insurance for that. You
only
have
only one lawsuit the whole time?
No. There was another one.
No.
Where, no.
These are, where this a female comedian won the Gill Places.
No, we had hammerhead drunk. He stepped off the stage. He was on stage with a magician or some other performer, and he had flip flops on, and he caught his flip flop at the edge of the thing and went over. And it cost, I would say, $25,000-$30,000 for a tiny case for an insurance company to litigate. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they'd rather pay these yo-yos off, so it costs like $13,000. He gets 40% to the attorney. He gets nothing. I mean, these people are trailer park types, are looking for a payday. And then I had another thing where this race, I had a black bouncer who was a very nice guy. And
bouncer that worked for you.
Yes, and there were people who didn't like him. I don't know how it got. I wasn't there that night. But they kept using the N-word over and over and over and over and over again. He kept biting his tongue.
They were calling him nincompoop?
Yes, nincompoop. And the girl, sometimes the women, when they get loaded, they're more violent than the guys. She lunges at him. And there was like an empty beer bottle right next to him.
I'm not blaming him, but did he finally say something, or she just grabbed the beer bottle?
No, he went. And he kind of either conked the guy on the head or conked her on the head with the bottle.
Why didn't he kick them out?
No, it was after the show. It was after the show. Outside.
Oh, wow.
So he was just trying to bite his tongue and thought
the nicer thing to do, just a little tap with the bottle.
No. When they came after him, armed himself.
That's fair. He was just kind of...
And they got paid. They got paid.
I feel like something's missing.
They got paid.
Like, they just kept saying the N-word until finally somebody lunged at him and he happened to have time to get a bottle. Like,
yeah,
to get you!
Yeah. It's rough, man. People are more entitled now, even nowadays. People are just...
With drunks...
Customers change, they're not as patient anymore, and they just can't sit and listen for 90 minutes without texting somebody or going out to take a phone call. It's sad.
Have you ever thought about quitting the club or selling it because you were disgusted by the way audience has
turned? You know, 26 years. I've pretty much seen everybody and, been around it so long that nowadays, like guys like Dane Cook, it's hard for me to really come to grips with guys like him. I mean, God bless him, and he's making millions and millions of dollars. I don't happen to think he's the funniest guy, but he's a very savvy, shrewd marketer. And that's what it seems to be nowadays.
He's an asshole. Talented. Has he come by your place?
No, he never did. You know him? You ever meet him?
Not in person.
You know people
we've had talks with him like through the show. And
okay.
I do believe he's a joke thief, and I find him to be very, very fake.
I mean, that's really been his M.O., certainly. But what are you going to do? He was the first guy to tap into MySpace.
Would you have him in your club? Isn't that funny?
If I was a typical club owner, I would. If a guy could sell out six shows, I would have Hitler at my club.
Okay, but you?
No, I'm kidding.
Would you, though?
Hitler.
You would not have Hitler.
He sold out six shows!
Hey, even a Jew can argue with that, huh? You said sold out.
He killed 10 million people, but he sold out six shows.
His humor.
Nobody sells out anymore.
Have you ever gotten in between comics and joke thieving?
No.
Have you seen it by comics that should know better?
Yes.
Wait. Would you have Dan Cook on?
No.
How could you say no?
I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I'm down the road so far that I only book people I like to be with and hang out with, people that I'm simpatico with. I don't want to walk on eggshells. I don't want to tap dance. I don't want managers calling me, agents calling me, complaining about some bullshit. I went through all that stuff, you know, and it's not pleasant.
All right.
Tell you a funny story about Tracy Morgan. Nothing funny about Tracy particularly, but
that guy's cuckoos.
Yeah. But about 10, 12 years ago, I booked him for the first time when he was doing Saturday Night Live, probably a year or two when I booked him. And, you know, the reservations weren't going too good way back when. Anyway.
I'm sorry. Are you the one who specifically books people or you have a booker?
No, I do the booking.
Oh, okay.
So the agent calls me and I say, well, we need to cut the shows down. And we worked it out. Anyway, picked Tracy up and we were doing some black radio station in the morning. So I go to pick him up at the condo we had at the time where we put comics up. And there was like eight cousins laying sleeping on the floor. Eight cousins of his from Youngstown. And I swear to you, they all piled in my little Volkswagen. We went down to the black station. And literally, when we opened the door, it was like some kind of clown car. It was like a clown car at Ringling Brothers with all these guys getting out to. And they all were wearing Mr. T starter kits, too. They all had a lot of bling. And but he did a terrible, 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 terrible five, terrible show. Unfunny.
Really?
A zenith of unfunny. 30 minutes, 25 minutes, and then walk off, and the customers were, you know, PO'd, and you're...
Wait. So he's not just unfunny to you. The whole crowd is just like, what the fuck is
it's
this?
It's brutal. It's filthy, and there's no redemption. I mean, you can be dirty, but there's got to be a little redemption there, a little humanity, and it was bad.
Wow.
So I just don't like being in that position where you got to, you know, hey, man, can you do at least 45 minutes? Or you know, even as a businessman, you're trying to have waitresses out there, you're trying to time the last call, whatever it is, you know, it's...
He just walked off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Do you call
his manager
or something?
Yeah.
Does he get paid?
And that's the sad part. You know, he does get paid. What are you going to do? You know, I don't know. I suppose maybe I say, I'm not paying. You're not doing the job. And then go through all kinds of hell and high water. But I was a little more naive then. I probably would say that now. If you're not going to do it, you're not going to get paid. Get your agent on the phone. Do what you got to do. But you got to do shows. But even now.
But then what? He goes on stage and it's like extra super duper not funny.
Yes.
Right. It'd be like demanding you don't get fired from a job and they keep you.
Right.
Well, who wants to be there on either side?
Now, we had Patton Oswalt about 6 years ago who was on King of Queens and he does this.
He seems all right.
The Comedians of Comedy Tour, which is kind of a funny name. But right before. The Iraq War. Any fans of the Iraq War here? Raise your hand.
I loved the second season.
Oh, you did? Yeah, that's a good one. So he's on Conan O'Brien, and he's doing some anti-Bush material, and we're getting the plug for the club, and it's great, you know? Shows up the club. The United States is gearing the army up. They're gathering the army up before they launch him to Iraq. So it's about a month before. So he starts going through his Bush stuff, and he's basically not saying anything particularly that funny. He doesn't think Bush is evil. He just thinks he's a fucking moron. That's the joke.
Right.
It's not a great joke, but, you know.
It's not new to the U.S.
Yeah, they start booing. They start booing, and
that is a tough time to do it, and he should know that, though.
Well, he did it 3 days earlier on Conan with no blowback.
Okay.
In Pittsburgh, it was unbelievable. It was like a Frankenstein movie with a lynch mob with torches. They wanted a lynch.
Can I say I'm not really surprised? It's a very blue-collar town, obviously, and I'm not really surprised.
Man, it was the middle show on Saturday, and I'm going, I've never experienced this. What am I going to do here? I mean, and he refused. See, this is what I don't like. I don't like guys who are such artists that they refuse to entertain the audience because sometimes an audience doesn't get what they're doing and needs to be entertained.
Right.
You know? And you got to learn how to do that. But he refused to do it. But he did man up and say, if you get any negative emails or anything like that, please send them my way, and I will answer that. But we had to give everybody free tickets when they walked out of there. It was pretty nasty.
Wow.
It was pretty nasty. But generally speaking, let me think. Nothing really egregiously. A couple of drunk episodes. Otto and George. You know Otto and George?
Yeah, the guy that has a he's a
triple
X-rated.
The funniest.
What is it?
He's a ventriloquist.
Otto and George. Otto Peterson and George is dummy. He's the filthiest act you'll ever see.
Well, it's more the puppet, quite frankly.
Oh yeah, but he was at Pips in Sheepshead Bay, and the story goes
that's closed now.
Is it closed?
Yeah.
I think the guy committed suicide, didn't he? The son of George Schultz, the original owner. I think he killed himself.
I'm not sure about that. I know there was new management, and then it didn't take off.
So he apparently was the dummy was given this guy from I forget where he was from such a hard time, ripping into him so unmercifully. The guy gets up out of his chair and lunges at the dummy with a knife.
At the dummy.
That's a good ventriloquist. And he's terrible technique. He's got terrible technique. Yeah. His lips are going a mile a minute, right. You know. But the character is so strong and it's so brilliant that Penn and Teller in Vegas, they'll come to see him. And even Seinfeld, who doesn't like dirty, right. He's the funniest. Never get a chance.
Did George look at the doll, too, and was like, I'm on your side, buddy. What a prick. Anyway, see you guys tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's a funny show. I mean,
really. How do you pick comics now? How do you find people, or do you just have your regular
The sound
thing
of their
like?
Names.
I like K's.
Tell them the potato chip letter story.
The which one?
The potato chip something story. What's we're having? Oh, okay. And tag out.
Because you don't know the story.
We now have John McClellan. Yeah. Am I saying your last name right?
McClellan is exactly right. So Jeff is an old bullshit guy. And people are intimidated by him. And they call him and they're trying to get on. So there's a guy that does Letterman for the first time. And Letterman still, at this point, is a pretty big feather in your cap. So he calls up. He goes, listen, I just did Letterman. And you saw it. And, you know, I'd really like to headline your club. He goes, yeah, great. Did you see it last night?
Headlining.
Yeah, he wants to headline. He wants to be the top guy. He goes, did you see Letterman last night? He goes, yeah, the potato chip lady was on. Yeah, she's great. She's done Letterman 6 times. She doesn't fucking headline my club.
Yeah, it's a tough racket, man, doing stand-up. I feel sorry for the guys in a way, but it's the toughest of all the performing arts. It is, because you literally have to start from scratch after every joke. You get a laugh, and you got to start from scratch, you know. And when you're in theater and you're in a play, they give you a cursory round of applause at the end of it, but you don't know if you really stink, you know. But with stand-up, it's just, you know, walking the plank.
Are you on MySpace? Are you looking for people?
No, usually the way it goes now, I know a lot of agents who've known me for 25 years, and I respect their opinions. There's a lot of guys who know funny guys. And, you know, I'm really basically book a lot of ham and eggers in that guys who can do a really fun show and a good show. And it's not
What's a ham and egger? Am I missing something?
Just a regular, you know, guy who can just go out there and do it, you know. And there's no baggage, and there's no riders, and there's no this and that, and you know, I feel much more comfortable doing that, because that's where I basically come from. That I'm not into the hobnobbing with
superstars.
Who's
your favorite comic?
I was, you know, Dennis Miller used to MC for me. He's from Pittsburgh. He was very clever as a young stand-up. He MC'd for me for about 3 months before he went to New York, and then about 6 months later he got Saturday Night Live. He was very good. I liked him a lot. I don't care for him that much now, and I was always a big Woody Allen fan. Growing up, you know, if you ever listen to the Nightclub Years, his double live set, that still is, for me, the best comedy album, still, bar none. And the material is as fresh today as it was in 1964, if you can believe that. There's a couple of references you might think are dated, but for the most part, it's fantastic.
You were mentioning writers. What's the most ridiculous one you ever had?
Do
you get them ridiculous from comedians?
Not so much anymore, because I tell them no way, no way, no way. So then the agents just say, all right.
What do you say no way to?
Was it drugs back in the day, or is it some totally
no,
ridiculous?
No, it was the type of water they needed, or they needed special fruit cut up. It wasn't enough to have, you know, cantaloupe. They needed honeydew melon. You know, just stuff that drives you crazy, or a tray. You had to get a deli tray. And then they wouldn't eat it. That's the thing. They wouldn't eat it.
You think they do it because they want it, or they do it so that they know you're doing it? You know what I mean?
I think it's the management more than the performer. I really do. The management, they're 10%ers. They're one notch above child molester, most of these guys.
Yeah.
You know. Wow.
Yeah, really. When they call you, it's just they're just full of shit. And you got to know that, you know. But when I was young, dumb, and full of you-know-what, you know, I was wet behind the ears, and I didn't know
that. That would be cum, ladies and gentlemen.
Came in my...
Well, you're out of the no-cussing club for starters.
But the worst rider, here's the worst rider. But it didn't happen to me. It happened to, I think, Rascals in Jersey, but they're out of business. And Richard Lewis comes
in
there.
Was that a little dig?
No, not a dig. Okay. They had troubles for years, but and it wasn't because of the comics they put on. It was just the management, I think.
Okay,
but he needed a grand piano. Richard Lewis needed a grand piano to put his 3x5 cards on that he would do. That's how he would do his act. He wouldn't memorize his act. He just improv the thing and put his cards out there. and he almost got beaten up. From the way I heard the story through the booker, they were so furious to rent a piano because they thought maybe he'd have.
They rented one.
They rented a piano, a grand piano for Richard Lewis.
Wow, just to get that in there.
Unfunny at any speed, Richard Lewis.
You know what? I remember being young, and I did see him, and I did find him funny, and I wish he calmed down. I do want to see him again, you know, older. But I did see him on a Howard Stern interview, and Artie Lang was saying how he likes how Richard Lewis is the reason he got into comedy, and he started to say one joke that he really liked. Richard Lewis is fucking insane, and he starts telling Artie to shut the fuck up, and he better not steal his material. He knows that he follows him because he steals his material out of nowhere, and in no way was it a joke. Richard Lewis is insane.
Artie's a sweetheart. You ever met him? He's a sweetheart. Yep. He's a regular nice guy. And I've had him at the club a few times.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did. Mona took me to a show of his. I did meet him. Anyway.
But and he would readily tell you he's not a great stand-up comic. He would say that to you. I don't have great material, but I got a great character. And that's 90% of comedy.
What's his character? A fat drunk?
Right. For his audience, they can relate to that. And that's everything in comedy. You could have the greatest material, but if the audience doesn't like you or can relate to you, I don't care how. I don't care if you rip the walls down. They'll never remember you.
And does he pack the place? Just
he packs
by his
the
name?
Place. It's like a midnight show on a pirate ship. That's how wild the audience
is. He rapes half of them.
Oh, it's pillaging, raping going on. Chugging Jack Daniels. I mean, it's almost out of control.
That's good for business, right? A little bit, because it's almost out of control.
Well, when they make last call and you're trying to collect the tabs, it's a little dicey. People are just all over the place because it's such. I mean, you think you got a listenership, and you do, but when you go to see a live show, Artie's. Well, he did Heinz Hall, the last time. And that's 2,600 people. And he's such a mensch.
I'm sorry. We have more than 2,600 listeners.
No, I know you do. He's got 2,600. He's such a mensch. He says, I'll do a midnight show for you at the Funny Bone on Friday night after his big concert, which nobody would ever do. Nobody. So he's a great guy. He's a very nice guy.
How many does your seat?
Three.
300?
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty big.
Yeah, but Artie's he's a good guy. And, you know, he's a little... Got a little
cuckoo's magoo's. That's
cool. He's got
we
troubles,
all do. Come on.
But he's at least a real guy, and what you see is what you get. You know,
right? Going back real quick, did you see professional comedians that were joke thieves?
There's a few guys out there that have reputations.
Like who?
You know, Robin Williams certainly.
Robin Williams, I heard.
I can't verify the story, but somebody told me. I don't know who it was, but they actually confronted him at the Comedy Store. And put him up against the wall.
Oh, I know. Carlos Mencia.
Oh, he's a thief, too, yeah.
Do you know that? Do you agree with him being a thief?
I don't know so much, but I hear it. If you hear it enough, where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, I know a lot of young guys, a lot of open micers, they'll steal stuff from Comedy Central, and they'll get busted. You know, you go, well, you got that from blah, 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 you know. But that's usually how people find their style. You know, even if you're a writer, you steal from the best. And then you find out whether you got the chops or the wherewithal to withstand the brutality of being in show business. But for the most part, I would say, you know, maybe, 5% guys kind of steal. But,
did you ever have to tell a guy, don't ever do that?
Yeah, I've done that. But in 26 years, maybe two or three times. I'm not going to say who it was. Okay. But, yeah, you know, sure. I go, that's not right, man.
Right. How does your open mic run? Do you have it on Tuesday nights?
I have it on Tuesday. There's a paucity of talent in Pittsburgh at this point. It was never the healthiest.
I never heard that word.
Did you say paucity?
Paucity.
Well, breaking it.
Like a woman who's a barren. Like a woman who's barren, who can't have children. It's pretty lame. I mean, even in the early, in the salad years of, Dennis Miller and Mario Joyner and a few guys who came out of Pittsburgh. Michael Keaton was from Pittsburgh. There's only been maybe five or eight people who are competent comics. It's never been a really healthy scene, but now we're at the nadir. We're scraping the barrel. In fact, we're through the bottom of the barrel. We're in the mud beyond the bottom.
Wow.
Under
Do
the
you
bottom.
Sit there through open mic?
No.
Because you just know.
No. I'd rather sit through root canal work. I think I would.
Wow.
It's bad. But not only is it bad, it's like Stephen King wrote a story about the most untalented comic. But here's the kicker. He's untalented, but he never gives up. That's the kind of
Oppenheimer.
Right.
Up.
Right.
The That's horror the film.
Yes, yeah, the Undaunted. Okay. They won't give up. They won't take no for an answer. But they have. They're nowhere near talented or funny on any level.
I do. We used to go to open mics. That's Keith and I met in an open mic, and the stand ups were. Look at him. What is
yes,
that?
Sir. Yes, sir.
You know what side your ass is buttered on?
Oh,
yeah.
Open mic. I call it Pussy Central.
But yeah.
Maybe you'll show us later.
Open. Open. Oh,
she's so funny. What weirds her out? Meanwhile, she's got such a disgusting mouth. It's very weird. It doesn't make sense to me.
I will
either.
Give you that. I will give you that. But the stand up comics, yeah. What I was trying to say, are the most relentless. Yes. They will go anywhere. They will try yes. anything, and it's good and it's bad.
I mean, really, if you want to be successful, it's got to be beyond life itself. Like mm-hmm. breathing mm-hmm. to want to do this. Otherwise, you could never make it as a stand-up.
Yeah, so they were right, but at the same time, they were so wrong.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. wrong.
But you're absolutely right, and it makes sense. Like a regular job, you're kind of told where to go and yes. what to do. And you know, and there's also some kind of safety in that where, you know, obviously, where when we would start doing this radio show, you could quit because you don't have to answer to anybody. Mm-hmm. So there was something nice about going to a dumb job and me serving people your dumb drinks and your dumb food.
Well, why did you give it up? I mean, like as a regular thing. First of all,
he didn't even start. When he says he was doing
it, oh, okay.
When he says he was doing it for a year, he's talking about one night a week open mic where we met.
Okay.
He was just trying to see if he can do it. Then because he's all about like new material and whatever, every week would be new material. So he wrote a 45 minute to an hour set. New material, April 15th was the first time when he turned 30. That's
okay.
his first DVD, and it works really well for him.
I get you.
We sell the DVDs here now. He does it. He doesn't have to do open mics. He
right.
doesn't have to beg people
right.
to get into their thing, do bringer shows, things like
but
that.
But I think you probably knew how grueling it was going to be if you were going to pursue it for a career.
That's why he didn't do
yeah.
it.
I went to, you know, and it's a handful, and it makes comics angry that I took a totally different route. But less than 10 times. But I did go to, like, regular clubs and see, like, you know, I understand you got to earn your way. That's fair. But to see the disgusting open mics.
Yeah.
And then to get the scam, like, you know, I'd get a phone call and go, okay, you know, we'll have you back next week. And I'd have to say, and I'd sound like an asshole, like, I know I just been doing this for 3 months. I get it. But everybody else was shit. If you never want to have me, then that's
yeah.
it. But, you know, I'm saying as nice as I could. I'm better than that, and I don't. You know, and I'm not really having a big head at all, but it's ridiculous and it's not going to go anywhere. Okay, that's good to hear because next Thursday is industry night. We're going to have you. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's all I had to say. Now you remember who I was. And, of course, I'm in for industry night. And it's the same jag house doing the same jokes and never worked.
Yeah.
So people that pick on me, like, why don't you go out? And, you know, how can you do your show once a year? You don't go out and see what works and what doesn't. These people go out. They see what works and what doesn't. And they think it all works.
Yeah.
Nobody laughed. Why are you doing it every week?
Robbie,
I'll do it in my house.
Robbie Roman.
I don't recognize the name.
Robbie Roman from Uniontown, Pennsylvania, the craziest man in show business.
Is he, everything works to him?
No. Well, he's got laughing ears. He's got gales of laughter. He's so nuts. He had a DeLorean back in 82. He had a DeLorean with a vanity plate that says comic on it. Can you imagine them pulling up to an open mic in a DeLorean with the gull wings opening up? And I never.
What's his last name?
Robbie Roman. I never booked this guy. Here's how great.
I'd book him right for that.
The guy would work one-nighters in Des Moines, Iowa, and then drive to Las Vegas. Bookers would book him because he had a good transmission. He said, we need you to pick up the headliner in L.A. and drive him back to Des Moines. I'm not kidding you. So he sends faxes out with his itinerary, our schedule on it. He sent a fax out. He says, all dates are headliner dates, except otherwise noted, and it's like a six-month block, and there's only two dates on there where he's both emceeing. And he was nuts. And there's always guys like that. He's a legend, Robbie Roman.
It's sometimes the worst people that do have the most drive, too. No pun.
That's right.
You know, he's willing to go
from state to state. Arsenio Hall is a thief.
State.
Arsenio Hall, big thief.
I think I heard that.
He went to Chicago, and he's from Cleveland. He went to Chicago and literally just cleaned out everybody.
Really?
And then went to L.A., but he has this gift, the salesmanship, and that's what got him to where he got a, you know, very successful talk show.
He's
for 5 years.
Such a cheese ball.
Cheese ball. It's terrible.
What a cheese ball.
But he had the dog pound. Like, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dane's got the two fingers. It's like a middle finger, but like
times two. So you're like, I get it, you know?
It's like the Stockholm Syndrome, you know? You're identifying with your captor.
Right, right.
I gotta say, of all the delightful turns of phrase tonight, he's got laughing ears is my favorite. That's gold. I've met people
I don't understand
like that.
Why Jeff doesn't like me. I don't, Robbie, I like you. You're just nuts. You're not funny. You'll never be funny on any level.
How often do you see a comic bombing and blame the crowd? Not behind the scenes, yelling at the crowd. Do you see a lot? It happens a lot in New York.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Not so much in Pittsburgh. I've had guys get testy, and I've had guys say nasty things to the audience, especially Late Show Friday, which is like a cliche, but it's true. Yep. It's the worst show of the week.
Happening right now, folks.
Yeah. And I like
shot
that,
time, Tulsa. Shot time. You show your tits.
I'm gonna borrow that. But normally not so much. Normally not so much. But the crowds could be a little testy. But as the adage goes, there's no bad audiences, only bad performers.
Right. Agreed.
You got to be able to to do the entertainment.
I understand. There's good crowds and there's bad crowds. But when it's the whole crowd not enjoying you at all.
Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
Lynch mob.
Yeah.
Frankenstein movie. They were coming at him, man. It was grim.
Did you start a comedy club because you were into being a comic yourself?
I did a little stand-up, and back in the early days, not early 70s, when Freddie Prinze was still alive, and he would come to the Comedy Store.
You love dating yourself.
Well, I don't mind.
I think it's an extra kick.
I'm just giving you a little info.
It's summer 72.
Little background. Mitzi Shore, who was Pauly Shore's mother.
God rest her soul.
She used to, be pretty frisky. She got the club from Sammy Shore, the father, in a divorce settlement. Before right. comedy broke big, she got the club, and suddenly she was making a lot of money. So Steve Landisberg, Barney Miller fans, anybody remember that show?
Yep.
You know Officer Dietrich?
Which one was he?
He was the taller guy with kinky hair. Steve Landisberg. Well, they were dating. So all I remember on open mic nights, on Monday night at the original Comedy Store, not the big room, the little 150-seater on Sunset, 150 open micers on a Monday night, and you got a number and 2 minutes. Can you imagine this?
Wow.
150 guys. I'm not kidding you. That was the only room in town that had an open mic back in 73.
You know what, though? Like, is management watching?
Well, Mitzi was watching.
Because you can know in 2 minutes, usually.
The point I was making is I would watch Mitzi and Steve Landisberg Frenching each other, just standing next to me. I'm trying to watch the show. They'd be making out.
Oh.
Disgusting. On any level, man. Every level.
And he takes nudes of 65-year-olds.
Oh, my God. There's not enough Vaseline to put on the lens to photograph Mitzi Shore. So fast forward 20 years, my mother's visiting me, and I'm living in West Hollywood with my family, and we go to the Comedy Store, and there's Pauly up on stage. And my mother's looking at me going, she says to me, what the fuck is this? My mother. That's how bad Pauly is.
He's the worst.
What the fuck is this, my mom says.
How loud?
It's the comedy spawn, Mom. Actually crawled out on his mom's thigh.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
I just saw something he just put out. Because I watch crap. I watch everything. And so I make myself watch crap, too. And I don't know why. I don't know why I punish myself like that. And he has a new show called Natural Born Comics. Yeah. And it's just him. But it's horrible. It's like me saying I want to see Richard Lewis again now that I'm older. I wanted to see him.
In his heyday, yeah.
I wanted to see him. Well, it takes place now. And it's like, well, maybe you got some jokes now. Maybe there's funny stories on the movie sets. This guy offends me. Yeah. Like, there's no reason just why shit on him on my show, but he offends me that much. He owes me an apology.
Nothing sadder than an old weasel.
That is true. All right, are we ready to give Dina a call?
Yes, please.
All right.
Okay, while you're calling, I'm just going to explain real quick. Ask Dina at keithandthegirl.com if you have any questions about your life, about... mostly your life, but somebody else's life is acceptable because we'll just know it's your life anyway. Ask Dina at keithandthegirl.com. Send in your questions. She's a real person from a real place called Hartsville.
I think you're going to like her.
Did she pick it take? Up? I don't know. Sound like it. Dina?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Not so much going on.
You think we disturbed her? It's okay. How you doing, Dina?
I'm doing fine.
I'm doing good. How was your week?
fine.
What happened this week?
I was busy with work and stuff.
Okay, so nothing bad.
Everything no, something
good?
Happened.
No, I'm just busy with work and stuff. Everybody's got the flu, so it makes me a busy person.
I see.
Remember, Hemda, we were talking earlier today about how you have so much more energy than me. It's hard for us to, you know, but man, Dina is like, you know, like I'd be running circles around her.
Well, I think, but she gets excited. You got to have the right thing. And then it's kind of like you, like when I start talking to you about stuff that you're interested in, suddenly you perk up. But if I'm talking about nonsense, you're just gone.
Yeah.
Right? Like McNally has walked out of a room while I was talking.
Right.
Like, okay, this is not for me.
But if you go, what band is that shirt? Right. Boom, boom. You can't shut them up.
It's all about passion.
It's all about passion.
Yeah.
So you'll see. You'll see her get revved up over this stupidity. Here's the main letter, Dina. And you know this person. This is Todd Montgomery, and he's the guy that wrote in earlier because he was living with a girl that we ended up telling him. You know, you remember this guy already. She's disgusting.
Yeah, tell him to drop that bitch, yeah.
Yeah, drop this bitch because she's living, using you for your house, and she's acting like during the sleep you end up touching
her.
Third letter.
Oh, this is his third letter. Yeah, he has a whole new problem. All right, here it is. Hi, Dina.
Oh, Christ almighty.
At the risk of sounding completely pathetic, I'm rating you again because it seems like the other problem you helped me with about the girl who was staying with me and accused me of molesting her has been handled. Yeah, you kicked her out because we said to kick her out. This is something completely different. I don't think it's going to be completely different. I think it's going to be you being a pussy again.
I don't think so either. Right. I'm thinking this is just as gay as the first one, but go ahead.
I had sex with someone from work during our lunch break this week. I live really close, so it wasn't in some closet or anything. We went home during the break. And since then, she's been pretty distant. When I suggested seeing each other again, she said, quote, "We'll see what happens. I know I wasn't any good." But I'm blaming that on the... Listen to the girls giggling.
That's fucking awesome. I don't even know what to say, really.
When you know... When you know that you weren't good, when you know that you weren't good.
Is that what he said? No, read it again. It's like, yes. Is that what he said?
When I suggested seeing each other again, she said, "We'll see what happens. I know I wasn't any good, but I'm blaming that on the fact..."
That's what's funny.
See, I told you she'd wake up.
He's a dude. He should say I was the bomb every time. Doesn't matter if you suck.
Right.
He's writing you a letter. He was the shit. He was the bomb right there. I'm not even answering. Actually, I'm not answering this question at all. I refuse to.
I know.
He already downed himself enough. I can't do anymore.
What's this woman's credentials?
He already said he was shit. I can't help him anymore.
Just ignore him.
Said it. I'm done.
Don't worry about this guy. I know.
No, I apologize, but honestly, he already said I wasn't any. You already have a problem. I can't help you.
Okay, let's hear. He blames it on something, babe. What does he blame it on?
Jeff is saying she doesn't sound like a doctor. I think.
Yeah, I'm a little dubious. Okay.
I know I wasn't any good, he says, but I'm blaming that on the fact that it was the first time for me in almost 2 years and that we really didn't have a lot of time. Do girls really judge a guy on his first performance? I think the easy thing...
Yes.
Yeah, so did Hemda, though, and I'm still here. I think the easy thing to think...
Well, okay, time out.
Yes.
Okay, the first time between Keith and me, we all know, sucked ass. But and not in like the good way. But it was terrible.
Listen to cuss mouth.
It was terrible, but no. I wasn't randomly doing some guy I worked with in the break room thinking like nothing else was gonna happen or something. He already made me laugh. We already had a great conversation. There were other things beyond this, so the potential was there, so another trial made sense. But some guy who's like, "Oh man, I'm caught up in the throes of something," and then he lets you down, like what else do you have, what other basis do you have to judge him on? Am I right?
Right.
I love, though, how Hemda describes that. Like, this wasn't just some fling. I had several hours already invested.
It was several hours, yes. Several hours. We had deep conversation. We both despised our parents. So right there, we had the groundwork done for fucking.
Wow.
fucking.
I love, you know what, when I when I belittle the conversation that we have before, you get so offended. But if I talk about it like it's a big deal, you're like, yeah, we had lots of conversation. When I say, like, oh my God, he pulled out the letter from his dad, you're like, what's the fucking big deal? We had such a great conversation.
I don't see what the big deal was. We were close, of course.
Oh, my little sensitive bear.
Whore. I think the easy thing to think is that she realizes now that I'm gross and she wasn't thinking or something. Wow.
What?
Yeah, brother loves crying right now, dude. But I don't think that it's this time as we made out a few months ago. And had I not had someone sleeping in my bed at the time, I'm fairly sure we would have had sex that night. But what did you tell her, you know? Like, some lady's taking advantage.
This guy's got more drama than any woman's going to want to deal with ever.
Right.
This guy needs to just stop.
Stop.
And, like, reassess 100%. He's had some bitch in his bed for, what, how many months? Now he's banging chicks and not happy about that either. So guess what? I can't help. Nobody can help you. You're fucked up.
Tell me, Jeff, that doesn't sound clinical. Naysayer.
Thank you, doctor.
I'm sorry.
And I don't think you... And he says, so...
Doctor.
So they would have had sex that first night some time ago, but they just made out. And so he doesn't think... She thinks that he's gross because I don't think that you make that mistake twice, he says. I'm sure there are other... Yeah, I don't get it
either. I'd have to see his technique.
Mistakes get made millions of times. This kid... Who is this?
Todd. Todd the Pussy.
All right, next time I see him anywhere in the chat, I'm going to say you're stupid.
He needs a little billiard chalk, I would recommend.
This kid's fucking stupid. He needs to, like, start being a man.
Yeah.
Start manning up and start banging chicks because he's not a young guy.
Yeah.
Banging chicks, fucking around like he's supposed to, and stop fucking obsessing over everything.
Right.
Little billiard chalk
God
on
Almighty.
The tongue. Little billiard chalk on the tongue.
Or if he is uptight as him, he should not stop being uptight, you know? Just oh, do
right.
it.
Amen. I'm sure there are other things, he says, going on with her that have nothing to do with me, but it's not as if I'm looking for some kind of serious relationship, but I would like another chance, so what can I do? Thanks. Let's say he really did it bad in bed the first time. Let's take it at this angle, not what a sad fuck this guy is. He did it bad in bed.
Tell the world that he sucks in bed. Okay, go ahead.
But he likes... right. Let's not tell the world, for starters. So he sucked in bed. But he really likes this girl. Is there anything a guy can do to get over that initial fucked up? Is there anything he can do?
The first time always sucks. The first time's never the best.
You know what?
He needs to make sure he gets that second chance. He's fucking it up and never going to get that second chance.
Yeah,
he's
going to
get that reputation that he sucks in bed.
I think the point is what you shouldn't do more than what you do. Like, he can't go, just shut your face. If it happens again, it happens. Like, I think better you ignore that person than, like, try to do it again.
You don't want
and
that
just,
person...
You act like it was fine, you know? You don't go, I think I... Just relax. Right. If it happens again, then it happens again.
Well, it sounds like he's a little anal, and he does... I do believe that this is the exact quote. Like, do you want to go out again? We'll see what happens. If somebody really says that, we'll
That's
see
enough.
What happens.
You know what?
I mean?
Then this was the girl that you practice on, and now you can't say that you haven't had sex for 2 years. There
right.
are more girls, believe it or not, in this world.
Not that he works with.
Doctor.
What do you think, Jeff?
I think the guy needs a little billiard chalk. He puts it on the tip of his tongue
right.
so he can, you know, apply a little English.
The old school technique.
Yes.
Does that really work?
Yeah, the Willie
He needs to stop being a pussy.
Stop being a pussy.
The Willie Moscone of the bedroom.
McNally, please don't do that. Okay, so I have another Ask Dina letter
please
really
do.
Quick, if you don't mind. Dear Dina, I just met this man, and he was over my house right away because of some work situations that we had to go through. I found out that he takes nudes of your everyday average woman. Should I or shouldn't I remove my clothes?
He takes what? I missed that. He takes what?
He takes nudes of your average, ordinary woman. Should I, and he asked me to do it, should I or shouldn't I be a part of this? I am slightly flattered, yet a little distraught that he doesn't find me super hot.
Signed, unsigned.
He takes pictures of everyday women. Either getting played or it's art. I don't know.
Right. It sounds creepy. Doesn't it sound creepy?
Is it art or is it you getting played to look naked? I don't know.
Oh, P.S.
I mean,
claims-
we don't deal with many people that go up here, this area of the woods. We don't get people in. I'm doing a spread on Vogue. No, we don't get that shit up here.
P.S. He claims it's art.
He claims it's art.
He claims it's art, but he could be a fucking scumbag, too.
Yeah, there's something about his face,
here's
too.
Here's art. I'm going to take pictures of your asshole for the next fucking 20 minutes. Okay, it's art.
I can
worry, it's art.
The letters on...
You know how people get away with shit just saying it's art?
I got a special lens for that.
Here, let me do this. It's art. It's fucking art. Let me take
it's fucking
it's
art. That's
don't
right.
Worry about it. It's just art.
It's art, baby.
Thank you, Dean. I think you really helped somebody out there. And you lost out for somebody else.
All right. Thank you very much, Dean. It's awesome talking to you again. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Never fails. Wow.
Now, Jeff, you say, you know, she doesn't sound like a therapist right off, but just think, what if your therapist had been drinking? There you go.
Yeah.
Fits right in.
Wow. Where, I mean, she in the area?
Upstate.
Upstate.
Upstate, wow. A little whiter and trashier.
Wow.
Not you.
That's funny.
The general area.
Yeah, you don't. You don't call your therapist at 1:45 in the morning. Whose fault is that, for starters? You know, we might want to pick a better time to call. That might be our fault.
And I want to say, did you guys notice this when you bought this piss bottle? That I thought it was just a funny shaped bottle. I mean, it's got measurements on the side. It says urinal on the top.
Oh yeah.
I didn't even. That's class.
I need you to know.
That's the thing. You need to go to the expo in Jersey to find the bottle that says urinal. Like, where else would you buy that?
I think you could drink that whole thing.
Yeah.
By the way, Tulsa, I'm seeing your cake. Cut to cake. Cut to cake. Do a shot. J-Max, show your tits. You got great big ones. Thank you guys for hanging out.
Tulsa's meetup has a Keith and the Girl cake. There's a bunch of people. They have the camera up over there via the Keith and the Girl room, and they managed to get a whole bunch of people, including people who show titties. So titties on the camera right now. Thank you so much, Tulsa.
Fooey's in Tulsa right now. Okay, we can barely hear the show here with the bar stuff going on. That's having fun in Tulsa. But when Dina comes on, we can hear her in the fucking bathroom. She's all over the bar, even over the music. Yay, Dina.
Yay.
Very good.
So it's kind of one-sided here with the titties, I guess.
What's that?
Do you want to show yours? We're not opposed to it. This is a comfort zone.
I was looking at you, baby.
I know, and I was looking at you.
Come on.
Oh,
come
yes.
on with it.
Any announcements before we get out of here? Before we end our 3 years?
Oh,
congratulations,
man.
By the way. That's a hell of a thing.
Thank you.
3 years. Really, really. That's
you
a
know
hell
what?
Of a thing.
It is, and thank you. And you know what? I guess for the general 3 years, if you haven't been to our website and haven't checked out just all the buttons there, why not do it? KeithandTheGirl.com. That's what I'm going to say. You can find everything we ever talk about right there.
That's
forums,
right.
Chat, store, whatever you want. You might find a video, even though you've been there a few times, you might find a video that you haven't before. And if you're in the Pittsburgh area, why don't you visit Jeff at the Funny Bone?
Funny Bone at Station Square, Pittsburgh, FunnyBonePGH.com.
It's a very exciting to me, living in Somerset. Very exciting, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, to me,
New York City to us.
Yeah, if it's good enough for Jesse Joyce.
Was it New York City to you when you were growing up in Somerset?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. Roads on top of roads.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys did it.
Skyscrapers.
That beautiful little fountain in the middle of your entire town.
At the Point?
Yeah, at the Point. The Point.
Yeah. You go to any Steeler games?
No.
Not as a young guy?
No, I didn't get out much. We were pretty shielded.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't. No, to go to Pittsburgh was a big deal.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's the first viewing of Bombs. That's
what he took away from it. Our big trip to Pittsburgh, we saw our first bomb.
Oh, bomb. I thought you said bombs. I go, wow.
He's got
bombs, right.
He's got a speech impediment.
Panhandlers.
That's not nice.
Vagrant hobo, serial killers.
Oh, he understands me. He's from the bar.
I do, man.
FunnyBonePGH.com.
Yes.
Definitely visit it. Also, Keith McNally.
Well, I just wanted to give a quick thanks to everybody who has given me free money. I have gotten some donations, and I appreciate it greatly.
There's some cool shit on his site, so he deserves some donations. KeithCourage.com. Definitely visit it. Check it out. It's got also videos, and he did our live DVD that's out now in our store. But the music was done by him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from editing the whole thing, he put the music on. He made the music himself, and you can download it for free on KeithCourage.com.
Also, if you're interested in artistic nudes, I'm thinking about getting into this. I mean, I'm highly experienced.
You know, I need a spotter.
Nice. You can mentor me. It'd be great.
Like a weightlifting kind of thing. I need to spot the nudes.
All right, pervs. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, real quick, John McKellen.
McClellan.
McClellan?
Yes.
Excuse me. Do you perform regularly in Pittsburgh?
I'm all around the nation.
Oh, he actually lives in New York.
Oh, very cool. We'll have to have you on sometime when we know you're coming.
Yeah, why don't you go to boozcoma.com, BOOZECOMA.com, and you can check him out.
There you go. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for making us number one.
Thank you.
We'll see you Monday when we do it all over again. Bye.
KeithAndTheGirl.com.